Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command.
The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders!
With former NFL tight end, Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in from Northwest Stadium after a Commanders 41-24 win over the Las Vegas Raiders at times. Felt like a beatdown of Las Vegas. Now, Washington suffered a bevy of injuries we will get to. That's the bad news. But the good news is, offensively, without Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota was fantastic. They cooked and they hung 40.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that stood out to me was just all week Dan Quinn's talking about getting back to the balance. And you saw that today. I think with the way that Cliff called the game, and you and I were talking beforehand, and I thought he did an excellent job kind of getting into multiple formations, kind of that exotic smash mouth personality that we saw from him last year, and really just sticking to the plan. They were able to find some explosive chunks and obviously helped out by the special teams. But I really think this is who this team wants to be, how they should be. And I'd like to see Cliff kind of carry this over for when Jaden Daniels comes back healthy.
Yeah, early in the game, I think still on the first 15 script, but certainly in the first quarter, they have Deebo Samuel get a direct snap with Ertz next to him. Little trickeration worked for 9 yards. They came right back to the Mariota read option play. He reads that so well. Yeah. Has since Oregon. He gets 23 yards on the play. Ends up fumbling. Early, they shot themselves in the foot a couple times with a penalty, that turnover. But they were moving. I mean, they were averaging 7 yards per play. And you look up and you're going, no, they only have 7 points. Eventually, they stopped doing that. And that's when they started putting a lot of points on the board.
Yeah, a couple things to double-click on there. One, you're talking about that that wildcat play. First off, I thought they did a great job of getting from a kind of base formation. So, like, solo right, two tight ends on either side, two receivers on either side, to, like, wishbone in the hurry-up. And I thought they were able – they didn't have to switch personnel. They didn't have to wait for a sub. And just the plan to kind of get to these specialty plays on the hurry-up cadence – I thought was really fantastic, quite honestly. And the way that I go back and I chart during the game kind of all the plays, penalties, negative plays. And in the ledger, there's a lot of red, you know, which means negative play. And I do think that in the first half specifically, like even though it felt like you were really getting after the Las Vegas Raiders, that was not actually – the score did not reflect that. And so I think that was something that really stuck out. And it was nice they were able to kind of flip the script going into the second half and really honestly get the points going into the second half with that late second field goal.
Mariota was fantastic, as I mentioned. I stopped tracking this after halftime, but he had 3 incompletions at the half, and it was 2 drops, one from Lane on a back shoulder ball in the end zone, One from Debo on a deep over that was
how frustrating
thrown.
Was that was the drop, not only because of the drop, but because, you know, it's on. It looks like he's going to get a free play. The guy looks like he jumps offsides. Yep. Like, that was just incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I think it was offsides. Yeah, I mean, you had a better view on the sideline than I did. There's a bad sequence overall because it was the offsides wasn't called. The drop, that would have been a first down. And then I think that's when they missed the field goal.
Yeah, correct.
As well, all in the span of a few seconds. That was probably the only minute that went badly for them, pretty much. But then the other incompletion was like a throwaway. He's about to get sacked. Yep. Just kind of dumped the ball at Zach Ertz's feet, which was a smart play. He had three incompletions the rest of the game. But I say this to say, he was pinpoint accurate with ball placement. I thought middle of the field, he just was dynamite kind of between the numbers. And then also he ran for 40 yards on six attempts and a touchdown. They didn't need him to run after halftime, and he basically shut it down. But they didn't miss Jaden Daniels. And this is not any kind of a swipe, right? He's an MVP caliber quarterback. But that was the story all week long. It's like, what happens if he doesn't play? And you saw the line move by 3 points, and everybody's worried. Well, twice last year, Mariota played. Once against Carolina for four quarters, and they scored 40 points. Once against the Cowboys, where he came in at halftime with a deficit, and they come back to win. Yeah. And he's 15 of 18, and he runs all over the place. Like, he has been awesome three times and three chances now for Cliff Kingsbury in this offense.
Yeah, and I think Cliff, you know, like in Mariota's presser, he mentioned Cliff, and I do think that, like, they do seem to have a good connection, and Cliff really understands what Mariota does well. And if you look at those statistics, I don't know how many times I threw the football, but there was really, 21. Yeah, really low leverage kind of passing situations. We did a good job staying ahead of the sticks. We weren't going to put him out there in a negative way. Most of his shots down the field were off play action, where you get nice, clean throwing windows, good pockets. And I just was like, man, like, this is what we came to expect, I think, from Cliff. Obviously, in week one, I thought he did a pretty good job of it too. But for the majority of last season, is this like, we were an air raid background, but we're going to run the football. We're going to insulate the quarterback. We're going to play this really well managed down and distance game and find these explosive chunks when we can. And that's honestly how the game felt. So credit to Cliff, obviously, but I think to your point, like, Marcus did a great job of, again, managing the moment. Nothing was too big for him, which was really impressive.
So they had 32 runs, 21 passes.
Yeah.
Six of those are Mariota, but off the top of my head, the scramble for the touchdown, where he just pulled the ball down decisively on third and two for the first touchdown of the game. That's the only scramble I remember. So it might have been five design runs. So you're still talking about like 31-21 ratio in terms of plays called into the headset. So they wanted to run the football. And I'll give Cliff this credit too. They came out and they shoved the ball down the Raiders' gullet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first drive of the game was
those
a five,
first five
play,
plays, yeah.
And it was all runs. It was Rodriguez, who we didn't see starting necessarily, but this is how they're going to roll. So he gets the ball four straight times, had over 25 yards, I think. Then Mariota gets the carry for the three-yard touchdown from in tight. They didn't throw the ball once on that drive, and it kind of set the tone, I think, of Kingsbury feeling like, all right, we're going to be able to run the ball on these guys. That was the one thing defensively the Raiders had done really well.
Well, I was surprised.
Didn't carry over today because Washington had 170 yards on the ground at halftime.
Yeah, I was really surprised that they came out with that approach because, like, in watching film, it's like, man, they're actually pretty aggressive downhill. They play their gaps well, and there's a lot of air in the coverage. I thought Cliff, you know, would maybe come out and be a little bit more aggressive throwing the football. And I'm not saying in a reckless way, but as a way to kind of get Mariota's confidence, here's some concepts we like. But for your ability to come out, run the football that way, and really just totally control the line of scrimmage with runs that, like, traditionally we haven't seen them run. Like, they came out in 13 personnel, heavy 13 personnel with Trent Scott, and they're running like traditional power load, right? Where we've got two wing players, Ben Sinnott, Trent Scott, are blocking down on that nine technique or that six eye. We're getting a kick out from Colston Yankoff. Like, that's old school downhill football in 13 personnel with one receiver on the field, one back. And they did it four plays in a row. And obviously there's the touchdown where he scrambles and they're in 11 personnel for that. But that was just so surprising, such a shift from what we saw last week. And it was really interesting. People were talking about, well, maybe they spread them out, maybe they can't run the football. But love that little, not a little wrinkle, but the major wrinkle to kind of come out with that personnel grouping and get that done. And then also, I think we got to give this group credit. You know, Josh Connerly, Wiley, Biadasz, Chris Paul, and Laremy Tunsil. Like, kind of a little bit of a musical chair situation there, and they didn't miss a beat, man.
So I want to get to the O-line in a second. One more thought on the backs.
Yeah.
This is the vision a little bit, I think. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's only 5 weeks ago or something where B-Rob's expected to be the number one and Eckler's the number two or whatever. And now you've got Robinson, who they trade to San Francisco, and Eckler out for the year. In this game, McNichols, a 60-yard touchdown run. Rodriguez ended up 11 for 39, a little more you know, pedestrian with the, you know, 3.5, but really, really great start to the game and ran hard. And
also ran the 4 minute, you know, not going to be as efficient in those situations.
That's going to lower the numbers and kind of salted the game away. And then Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, it was an 8 for 26, but it was fairly loud. Like, he had some awesome, there was one jump cut in there that I saw that was really good. He had the two powerful back-to-back yard, nine-yard runs where he's just moving his legs and moving the pile. That was about as impressive as 26 yards as you're going to find. And they got Debo the ball 3 for 18. I actually thought early in the game, like, Kingsbury came here to chew bubble gum and give Debo Samuel the ball, and then he ran out of bubble gum because it was all Debo all the time until they shut him down in the fourth quarter. But I think this is the vision. I mean, they don't really care who's in the backfield. Like, your fantasy team be damned. Everyone's going to touch the football here.
No, I think that's 100% right, because I think they all do something – a little bit. Everyone, it's funny because everyone says, "Oh, they'll do something a little bit different." But the one thing they have in common, even Debo, is they run like absolute lunatics, man. Like, Chris Rodriguez is going to put his head down. Like, his hit on Porter, the DB for the Raiders in that 4 minute situation, was one of the hardest hits I've seen a running back put on a DB in a while. Right? Mm-hmm. You get McNichols turning his legs like you talked about, where he breaks out of three tackles and scores a touchdown. You mentioned Bill, like, some of those runs are incredibly violent, man. His ability to kind of manage contact. And then Debo Samuel, like, they're running trap or, like, kind of some type of trap or counter. I don't remember the exact blocking surface, but he's getting downhill trying to run over a safety. And I was like, okay, you know, like, if you want a physical, tough football team, A, the offensive line has to be excellent, but B, you got to get backs that are willing to throw it in there. And those guys, all of them, were very aggressive in that capacity.
All right, so let's get to the O-line. So the big news before the game was that basically Brandon Coleman got benched. I don't know what you term they're going to use, but that's what happened. He started the first two games. They didn't play him. He was inactive. We thought because he missed some practice time with an injury coming off of the Thursday nighter in Green Bay, maybe it was based on health. But a team spokesman before the game said it was a coach's decision. I asked Dan about it after the game. He said it's about the competition that's ongoing, which is code word for we thought Chris Paul gave us the better chance today. And I even caught up with Chris Paul, and I said, hey, it's 4 years in, and this is the first time in your career that you're actually getting a start when everyone's healthy.
What do you say?
Like, not a fill-in start. Talked about it being a huge deal for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he felt like it's a crowning moment, in a sense, for all the work that he's been putting in, that he's going in the right direction. But I bring this up to say, you're right, it was two changes on the interior.
Mm.
Both guard spots were swapped out. Allegretti on the right side for Andrew Wiley.
Yep.
And then on the left side, you go with Coleman out and Paul in. And I think some of this is they played, you know, a bad defense, if we're being honest. I think this
or at least they were bad today.
They certainly were today, right?
Yeah.
Like, you go back and you look at Green Bay and the Giants and this defense, and you watch the tape when you do.
Yeah.
My guess is you'll come up with the fact that this was the easiest defense to play against on this day. Having said that, you got to give these guys credit. And I do wonder what this means moving forward for Paul, maybe elevating himself.
Well, and I think also you got to put Trent Scott in there, too, to come in and basically be your big tight end in the replacement of John Bates. But on those first couple of plays, it wasn't pretty. You know, it's like you're thinking about power gap scheme runs, right? One of the things they always say is sit the doubles, drive guys out of there. And at this level of football,
sit the doubles.
Yeah, so I'm the post guy, right? I'm going to get to a high leg. You're going to sit with me. We're going to be really patient together. We're going to push. We're going to push. We're going to push. We're going to wait for that linebacker to run downhill. At the last second, I'm going to disengage. And we're going to get 4 yards.
Yeah.
And that is so hard to do. It's so hard to be patient. It's hard to be that aggressive. It's hard to be that physical and not kind of sell the farm. And those guys, I'll be darned, man, if they weren't double team pull, and they just sank those things and just moved that line of scrimmage in a way that's really hard to do at the NFL level. So whatever, maybe Chris Paul, they felt Chris Paul gave him a chance to win because he's, in terms of the guards, one of the stronger players. Wiley's one of the best pullers on the team. Connolly's a great run blocker. Maybe this just fits the skill set at a high level, but some of those early runs, again.
Were you surprised when you found out that Coleman would be out for Paul?
Not particularly. You know what I mean? I think he's negotiating an injury. Like, I had some questions, especially coming out of the Giants game, that weren't assuaged.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the Green Bay game, and again, like he's
performance
a,
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's a new player, new position. Like I kind of was like, you know, maybe he's on the Connerly trajectory, but there were some things that he did where I was like, I don't know, we'll see. And so, and I actually thought Chris Paul had an excellent offseason. I thought when he's come in and kind of alleviated for Coleman, he's done a great job. So it doesn't surprise me. Earned his opportunity, as Dan Quinn said, and really, I think, made the most of it from a physicality standpoint.
Former seventh round pick, previous regime, bit of a survivor here with the Commanders.
Love those guys, don't you?
Oh, it's the best.
Fired up.
Absolutely. You know all about that.
Dude, I love it.
That's program to program.
That's why I asked, man. I was like, when you get that first one in the books, it's a special thing. And so it's cool. I'm glad that he got that opportunity.
Yeah, he kind of lit up a little bit when I mentioned it. Because you think he started seven games, but it's different in like week 17 when three guys are out in front of you. Like this is...
Like they picked you.
Yeah.
They
everybody's healthy and they go, you know who gives us the best chance at guard? Chris Paul does.
Yeah.
It's different. All right, let's talk receivers for a second. Working our way through the operation.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/command to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Terry had a huge 56-yard catch and run. Maybe he scored. I still haven't seen the knee definitively down.
I will say London Fletcher, I've never heard him more adamant that he had scored a touchdown.
Really?
Because, like, you know, I'm walking down. I can't really see. And I'm like, there's people in the way. And he is like, he scored a touchdown. He's watching
off the replay or live?
I think live. And then he's watching the replay. Feeling
so the
same
replay,
way.
I thought he was down at the one. They called it a touchdown. I was like, oh, okay, great. And then when I saw the replay, I thought, oh, I don't think his knee did touch.
Yeah.
So I think London might be onto something. But regardless, they punch it in. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt scores that touchdown. But for McLaurin, that had to feel good. He got wide open. We talked so much about separation. It was kind of schemed up, but he gets behind everybody. 3 for 74.
What a great call, though. What a great call by Cliff. Just having the feel in that moment. We got our big personnel out there. Trent Scott's at the line of scrimmage. Everyone's frothing out the mouth to fit downhill on this kind of duo
action. What you've
been
talking about. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it's quarters coverage. Terry does his thing where he kind of does this outside stem on the go. He's away from the safety. Great ball. And man, like it was the perfect time for that play action shot.
So what happens when you run for $170.5? You know what I mean?
And it was like 150 in the first half, right? It was a lot.
It was 170 at the half. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was a brutal first half for the Las Vegas Raiders.
But when you do that, and now everyone's starting to cheat and help a little bit, now you hit them over the top. And it was a play that for Terry was 3 weeks in the making because he had 75 yards through the first two games and had almost 60 on that play and 74. In the game. Now, he did not finish, quad injury for him.
Dude, we got to talk about the injuries at some point, but
definitely. I mean, there are, I hope you, well, don't lose your voice. There are a bunch of them to discuss. He goes down. Next man up was Luke McCaffrey. And Luke in the fourth quarter, 3 catches, 56 yards, and the first touchdown of his career, 43 yards. I keep coming back to this. It's not to slight anybody, but it's because I think Cliff Kingsbury had a day today.
Yeah.
My guy was in his bag.
Yeah.
But like another schemed up play, like wide open, no one around Luke McCaffrey at all.
It's the same play that Green Bay got us with the Tucker Kraft.
It looked like that.
It's their motion in the back to a 3-receiver set. They obviously mess up the count. I mean, that's why you're doing it, right? Mess up the count. You get him breaking wide open on the crossing route. It's really well designed play. Good job.
But for him, I don't care if like he beats a guy or it's schemed up. That's got to feel good. Like year two, finally getting on the field, making some plays, had a 3-catch, 2-drive sequence there with a long touchdown. He's doing post-game interviews on national radio on the phone. I saw in the locker room. like, it's got to feel like the game's slowing down a little bit.
Well, also, like, I think the other thing is he caught the ball, but he still got to beat the safety to the end zone. And so you saw some of that athleticism, some of the explosiveness. Like, he got a little bubble screen also where he's kind of, you know, fighting for yards. He gets an 8-yard gain. Like, there was some sneaky kind of plus athleticism things that I think when you go back and watch the film or watch the replay of the game, you're kind of like, all right, there's signs of life there, which are encouraging.
Point out real quick, Ertz quiet, 3 for 38. Chris Moore got involved, 2 for 25.
Nice to see that too, man. Again, like kind of after a rough preseason, he came out and was really consistent today.
Gamer? I mean, he's turned it on. Like, you go to practices and you're like, you can't catch the ball enough, you know?
At least that's how he was in training camp. Right.
And then in games, he's been excellent.
Yeah.
Jalen Lane had just one catch for -2.
But he also did something else, though.
90-yard punt return for a touchdown. And the return game was unbelievable again. Debo had a huge kick return to start the game, 69 yards, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then Jalen Lane with 90. You know, between those two guys, it feels right now to me, I'm still anti-Debo kick returner, as crazy as that sounds, because of the wear and tear.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still feels like every time he's back there and Lane's back there, they could rip one off. And you're seeing it now week after week.
You got to hold your breath for sure. And you know what's crazy is Luke McCaffrey on his last kickoff return of the game.
When he fell.
I was behind the return and I was like, oh my gosh, like there's something here.
It looked like that, a gigantic hole.
And just loses his footing. So again, whatever Coach Izzo is doing in terms of blocking up the front, great job. But it's great to see Debo, like just the explosive spark he brings every time he touches the football.
Yeah.
You got to kind of hold your breath a little bit and be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a huge explosive play. So what a lightning bolt that's been to the offense to have him. And again, and I'm including the special teams there, because you start that drive, what, on like the 25 yard line.
Yes.
And it's the five consecutive runs. Like, that is so much harder to do if you're doing that from your own 20. So great job by Debo on that.
Lane's 90 yard punt return touchdown, their first punt return for a touchdown since Jamison Crowder in Baltimore back in 2016. You were on that team, though.
No,
you had already left. Okay.
That was the first year
I was
here.
In that stadium, and I think it was a 57-yard or something like that. But he took one back.
I remember that
against the Ravens. It was a really nice play.
But you know, it's so funny because I'm like, oh yeah, that was only 4 years ago. But no, it's 2025. Right, no, so it's
double that. yeah, and then some more after that.
Yeah.
But the kick return I thought was huge, because not to overstate the Jaden Daniels thing, but again, you got a backup quarterback. You've made two changes on the O-line. You don't have your wide receiver too. You know, you don't have your top blocking tight end. And by the way, we haven't talked about that. We thought the Bates loss would be huge, and yet they run all over the Raiders. But, like, all these guys are missing. You're wondering about the offense. It's been a sluggish 2 weeks. And then you rip that off, and the stadium's alive, and you run out there with momentum.
I mean,
it just
both,
feels like a huge
deal. I mean, honestly, both returns. Like, they kind of provided that same spark. You know, it's getting a little sluggish. I think they had a 3-and-out, punted back. It's the Las Vegas Raiders' second 3-and-out. They punt it, and you're kind of like, oh, everyone's kind of getting a little sleepy, right? And then, bang, 90 yards, and talk about a bolt of lightning for the team. That's fantastic.
Anything else offensively we need to touch before we go to the defensive side of the ball?
I think I'd just say this about the tight end utilization today. I thought was exactly what – it was, like, perfect. And I'm not saying that because I said this, but, like, you got the big tight end there for some of, like, the – pass pro defensive end blocking stuff. And then I think the great thing is you get Colston Yankoff, you get Benson it on the move in space, kicking people out, doing kind of things that fit their skill set more. And I really thought it showed a really great understanding of the coaching staff of, hey, this is where these guys are limited. That's where we're going to put Trent Scott. And this is how we maximize what they do as football players. And it really ended up having a great day for him.
I want to bring up offensively one more thing, which was kicker Matt Gay did miss a chippy early in the game. He came back and hit the rest of his kicks. He also kicked the ball out of bounds as well.
How about missed the chippy, but then hit the 57-yarder before halftime? Huge. It was kind of a weird...
And he got a reprieve there. He missed the first one, but the Raiders had called a timeout.
I got a funny bit.
Yeah.
So I played with a kicker. I forget who it was. I think in San Francisco. It used to be the Bears kicker, Gold.
Robbie Gold.
And he said he could hear the whistle after the timeout and would intentionally miss the kick, is what he would tell me, to get the fans all juiced up. You know what I mean?
Way.
He said he would intentionally miss the kick. And he might have been doing a bit, but I saw him do it multiple times where he would miss it. He would miss the first one. And everyone would be like,
that takes such, like, mental strength. And you would think the idea of just watching the kick you're about to make miss. But not only that, but, like, doing the wrong thing with like your technique on purpose is the balls on this guy.
I know, but he was like that though. He was built different as a kicker, very confident human being.
I just don't understand why teams do that so late that you can get a practice kick.
Right.
You'll never convince me that kicking twice isn't better than kicking once.
Right. Well, I think you saw him. He missed the first one, and I'm not sure he did it on purpose or not.
Right.
We'll give him the benefit.
I'm going to assume he did not, but based on the one for four start.
Did you see he immediately goes to Tress, and Tress was like, and then he was like, yeah, and then they changed his angle and nailed it. So maybe that was the good practice.
Oh, no, right there. You moved your hands too much.
Oh, no.
The camera thing's high. I thought I had fixed this dilemma. Here, let me wave and see what happened.
Oh, sorry.
All right, move this way just a little bit. All right, stay there.
What a bit.
We were doing great. This stupid camera. I was just watching so many like YouTube videos on how to avoid this. All right, we're almost done here. What else do we have? Let's see. But anyway, the Gay thing is getting a little bit precarious, I would say. 1-for-4 start to the year. He did make his kicks after that. Kicked the ball out of bounds, gave him the ball to 40. He got the biggest guaranteed money on a one-year deal ever for a kicker this offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give him some leash based on that. But this is not off to a great start, I would say.
No, and kickers are important until they're, you don't worry about a kicker until they're missing kicks, right? So I think that's probably what we're looking at here. And hopefully he figures it out. So
we're also looking at an off-skew, weird version of us.
It's like kind of crooked. Point. Yeah, it's like we're on like a hill.
Let me try this bit. Ready? Remember my bit? Stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the bit.
Yeah, hold on. Stop.
Oh, it did it.
Did it work?
Yeah. Oh, put your hand back up there.
I don't know.
Dude, all I'm right. Serious. Put your hand back up there. Yeah, wanted to.
That's not now.
No, no. Okay.
All right.
Never mind.
Anyway, sorry. Bear with us here.
We digress.
Bobby Wagner, 2 sacks. First time in 2 years in a game. Had another near sack where he forced
great pressure. Both of those great pressures.
I think they had something on them with those blitz packages. Yeah. Like, kicked their ass.
It was little zone pressures. And, like, again, Chip Kelly, like, this is some kind of weird stuff. Like, for the first, the double A, we're walking our back up in there. So there's no Chip. I don't know. Just was kind of a weird plan by Chip. But whatever, you know. That's on our team.
Luvu, 7 tackles.
Yeah, very nice to see him out there.
He'd been very, very quiet early in the season. It wasn't really impactful overly with like big plays, but ended up getting on the stat sheet. Here's one thing I wanted to bring up. The stopping of the run at the line of scrimmage. Mm. The first thing I'm going to do tonight when I go back and rewatch is going to be how many plays did Genty get 0 or 1 or hit in the backfield? And I know it was at least a half dozen, but it may have been more than that. I thought early in the game especially, they dominated the Raiders front in the run.
Yeah, no, and I think this was something that we kind of felt we talked about maybe coming in a little bit was just, gosh, like that offensive line for the Raiders, they're a couple pieces away, and you can feel it. Like when you're when you're standing behind that group, it's like everyone's like, oh, Ashton Jensen's terrible. It's like there is no air, there is nowhere to go. And again, that's a testament to the Commanders and the way they fit those runs. But man, like. There's a lot of mismatches out there. Their right tackle, I thought that was a matchup they were able to exploit. You know, Dorrance Armstrong gets a sack. Von Miller gets a sack. Jalen Holmes has a good rush on him. Like, just go down the list and say that my overall takeaway from this game, the Commanders owned the line of scrimmage offensively and they owned it defensively. And that's the difference, honestly, in the game is just the way those two position groups played.
Two plays. What happened on these two that were not good? The first play action boot to Jacoby Myers, like 40 yards on the opening drive.
Yeah. So, Fletch can see that a little bit better. And his kind of takeaway, because we talk in the break too, was that, you know, they're in man coverage. And one of the things about playing man coverage is you have to be incredibly disciplined with your eyes to have discipline. Eye discipline is what they call it. So what that means is, you know, I have my guy in man coverage and then I have my gap that I'm fitting the run on. I have to make sure the ball is handed off before I commit to the run. And I think that happened a little bit in the Green Bay game. I think that happened a little bit today. And again, you saw them kind of get out of the total, like the crazy volume of man coverage they've been playing the last couple of weeks. But I do think that's something to keep an eye on moving forward is how you coach that up, how you help those guys feel comfortable and help them kind of balance out some of the challenges of playing man coverage versus some of these run looks.
And then Trey Tucker, who had 3 touchdowns on the one down in that corner where he got wide open behind Wagner and Luvu. There's not a DB on that side of the field. Something wasn't right there. I couldn't tell if it was Amos maybe, but whoever it was took their guy inside. Like, that can't be the plan, that the guy who runs the sub 4.4 is going to run across or across Bobby Wagner.
So I think that's a really good example for all you people at home or coaching high school football or whatever of when you cannot get a rush, just how it breaks zone coverage. It breaks man coverage too, but you really can see it. You can visualize it. All of a sudden, the windows, the zone windows just start expanding, and they're just ripping apart. And I think that's what you're seeing there is they get deeper into the end zone. They move more horizontally. They're stressing the DBs to move a little bit more. And all of a sudden, you end up with Trey Tucker one-on-one with Bobby Wagner, who's trying to drop in the zone. So I think that's more what it is. And again, for a group that played really, really well all day, I think you also see some of the shortcomings when they don't get home, when they're not hitting those pressures right away. And it's just about finding, I'm sure they would tell you, they just got to be a little more consistent in those situations.
All right. So then injuries, and this is just top of my head. I wish I'd had a full list here somewhere, but Trey Amos with a calf.
Yep.
Did not come back in the game. Marshawn Lattimore with concussion evaluation did. So he should be fine, presumably going into next week. Percy Butler, hip injury, questionable to return, did not return. Will Harris had an ankle, went into the locker room, came back out, then didn't finish the game. We mentioned Terry McLaurin quad, but you'll notice I just named almost their entire starting secondary.
Yeah.
There was a sequence there where the Raiders moved and got, I think, the third Tucker touchdown, where Tyler Owens was at a safety.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you had basically it was
Tyler Owens, Revo, Mike Sandrastil, and
trying to think who they
Noah Igbinoghene.
Igbinoghene and your recent call up off the practice squad.
Yep. Yep.
You know, Antonio was out there too.
Because Tyler Owens was playing nickel for a little bit.
So, yeah. But it was out of the five guys, I think Sandrastil is like the only guy that was supposed to
have been
out there. So, you know, obviously the Raiders are going to move the ball there, but my more bigger question is going into next week, like how many of those guys are able to come back? What's that look like? We're already monitoring Daniels, Bates, Noah Brown, and then the Terry quad, but you basically the entire secondary, not named Mikey Sandrastil is now, you know, Quan Martin is now a question.
Some type of question for sure. And so, yeah, I mean, this is one of the things about being successful at the NFL level is can you be healthy? And right now we're going through a little bit of a rash of the injury bug, and it really comes down to the next man up and what you now feel comfortable calling if you're Joe Wood Jr. defensively with that group in. And they're going to get more reps. They're going to get opportunities to kind of get the active reps in the week. So some of these mental mistakes are not going to be quite as pronounced, but it's something you definitely got to think about. And then offensively, same type of deal. It's what do you now feel comfortable with the guys that you have available?
Let's talk Atlanta for a second. We'll have a lot of week to dissect this, but they got beat 27-0 today.
That's
30-0.
30-0. Yeah.
Michael Penix got benched through two terrible interceptions. Kirk Cousins came into the game. Now Penix, I'm sure, will start against Washington. But coming off of a win at 2-1, now you've got a full week, you know, to kind of heal up here going into next Sunday on the road. Not a terrible travel game down in Atlanta, but a chance to get to 3-1 against a team that's 1-2 and will be coming off of a real stinker. And they'll have some major questions at quarterback because Penix has not started as well as they thought he was going to.
Yeah, so I think with the Atlanta thing, it's such a week-to-week league in this way. It's like, man, they look so good against Minnesota, didn't they, in terms of how their
defensively
in terms of their ability to create pressure. They have weapons that can hurt you offensively. So you know you can never take anybody lightly. But what I will say is, like, if Kliff can call a game and install a game plan like this, I think you're going to be in a good spot because then – you got to think about really playing complementary football because as much as Penix has struggled, you know, as much as that offense has been up and down, I do think they can hurt you. They can hurt you down the field. So can we possess the ball offensively, kind of limit the exposure of the defense score points when we have to. And again, just make sure we're possessing the ball to make sure we give limited exposures for that defensive group.
A couple of quick final thoughts for me, and then we'll get yours. Dan Quinn takes a big shot on the sideline. He's bloody in the nose, came to the press conference with dry blood all over his beard and his mouth. He got banged up pretty good. I don't know if you saw a slow-mo replay at any point.
I saw it live.
He hit the back of his head so hard. I mean, that's the kind of thing with quarterbacks like Tua or something, where they go into the fencing position. Like, it was scary scene. But apparently the anecdote we got from Bobby Wagner postgame was the locker room, he's getting treatment. They basically say he might not address the team. Bobby gets up to talk, and Dan Quinn comes kind of like running into the room at the last second to give the speech, and the guys went crazy. And he talked about something he'll remember for a long time. But I think they clearly got something out of that after Mariota ran him over on the sideline. The other thing is, I think that, Mariota, just as a story, I don't know if he gets to start in Atlanta, if Daniels is back, if he's healthy, what that looks like. But you've got to feel great about him as your two.
No, absolutely.
In this league right now, to have a guy like him is such an asset. And it's been two basically full games, even though it's only one start, and 2.5 games, 3 appearances. And he has dealt. I mean, he's been incredible every time he's played.
No, I think that's 100% right. And so, does it affect your calculus about Jaden Daniels' return? Can you give him another week? Probably, and I think, again, it's not Marcus by himself, but I think Marcus's composure, his leadership, his experience, it all shows up in these moments. And I think that's one of the reasons why having a veteran backup is so absolutely critical, because not only is he can he play, but he can provide great mentorship for Jaden Daniels as well. So I'm really high on Marcus Mariota. I was a little bit concerned today because I was like, man, he hasn't played in the offseason, he hasn't played in the preseason, like where is he at, like where is he mentally at? And he just came out and absolutely rocked it. And again, Cliff understood the parameters and did a good job supporting him, but you got to go out and play those plays and make those high leverage moments work for you.
All right, take us away here. You get the last word. Commanders 41-24 home winners, 2-0 at home for Washington in back-to-back years for the first time since 08-09.
Yeah, I'm really excited with where the team's at. And again, like I thought there was a little bit of an adversity in that first half with some penalties, some fumbles, kind of some unforced errors. But your ability to kind of right the ship with some explosive special teams plays, kind of stay the course defensively and kind of play really just great complementary football across the board, I think this is what we came to expect from this team last year. So it was nice to kind of get that today at a really high level.
Commanders have 2 wins in their first 3 games each of the last 3 years now, at the minimum, to have 2 wins through 3 games, something they hadn't done in 3 straight years since 90-92.
Wow.
When they were winning Super Bowl. So tide is turning around these parts, as we know. Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson. You'll be seeing Logan all week long. We're back for another episode of the Take Command with his film breakdown in just a couple of days. Then we'll have a film breakdown of the Falcons. You're going to fall asleep a couple times watching that one as we get ready for next Sunday in Atlanta. Check me out, 106.7 The Fan, Tudis joining us tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Which I'm excited about. And Tuesday, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt's going to be in the mix with the lads.
Wow.
So that should be fun. Thanks for watching Take Command from Northwest Stadium, our live post-game breakdown. 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 YouTubes, and subscribe to the pod. Rate and review us wherever you get your audio. We're available 3 times a week. That'll do it for Logan and Grant from Northwest Stadium after a big win.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.